All right, we start off hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Good to have you on this Monday. I had that quick turnaround to New York and back. Felt great. That's such good time on the NFL Today on CBS. Got a little bit of time off, then I will show up once again. I think my next appearance, is the 7th. I'll have to look. I don't really know. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Your telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686, as promised. We are talking some Cleveland Browns football. We are joined by a running back for the Browns coming off an enormous game. 22 carries, 146 yards, and a TD in Thursday night's win. He also had a couple of receptions for 22 yards. Thursday night was his first career NFL start. He left USF as their all-time leader in all-purpose yardage. He was undrafted in 2018 out of South Florida. Cleveland, 4-3 on the season, and they're at home. They've got a big one on Sunday. They're hosting Pittsburgh. D'Ernest Johnson is my guest. D'Ernest, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my man, it is so good to have you. In fact, there are so many things I want to get into. But first, coming off that first career NFL start, that huge game, I got to know, what have the last few days been like for you?
Man, it's been crazy. You know, I've been getting a lot of love from a lot of different people around the nation. You know, a lot of people telling me how much I'm an inspiration to them and things like that. You know, it means a lot to me. You know, just media, just come from where I come from and take the route that I had to take just to get here, man. It's a blessing.
Dude, I'm so happy you answered like that because I believe all of that is true. I think you are an inspiration, and I absolutely love your journey, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. You showed up at the postgame press conference with a sweatshirt that read, "Trust the process." A lot of guys say that. I think people hear that, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other because they don't really understand it. But when you look at your life and your journey, there really is a process. What does that mean to you, trust the process, and how have you gone about doing so?
Trust the process. It's a little slogan of mine that comes with my brand. It's slow grind, something I go by every day. Slow grinding, just staying focused on the ultimate goal. Sometimes the process doesn't come fast; it takes time. So I mean, just me going through what I went through. You know, I had to go through, like I say, different obstacles. You know, just even just growing up, I had to go through different obstacles. I had to fight for everything that I ever wanted. So just trusting the process, I had, you know, my goal was to make it to the NFL, you know. That's my goal coming out of college. You know, I thought I had high chances of making it to the NFL. You know, I had a workout with the New Orleans Saints, and that ended up not going the way I wanted to go. So then, like, I had to find another way to try to make some money because I had at the time, my son was 5 years old. You know, I had a five-year-old son, and I just tried to make some money just to provide for him. But at the same time, while I was out, you know, fishing and trying to make some money, in the back of my mind, my goal was to still make it to the NFL. So after I'm done fishing and stuff, you know, I go up to Gainesville and work out as a personal trainer. You know, I become a personal trainer up at a local gym over there. And while I was working out clients and stuff, you know, after that, I train and get my body ready and stuff like that. You just train and train for like a couple of hours, and I would do that every day. Then that's when the Alliance of America League came out. You know, that league came out, and I seen that as an opportunity of a new football league, you know, for people to have a chance to make it back to the NFL. So at the time, I had an agent, but at the time, like, we wasn't, you know, on good terms, so I ended up, like, letting them go. So I just stepped out on faith and just inbox every Alliance, like every team. Like, I inbox every team. I try to send my family in to them. And I did that. Then that's when I had a couple of college teammates that was on the Orlando Apollos team. You know, and I called them and I asked them, like, you know, how can I get in there? Like, how can I, you know, be a part of the team? And they gave me the coach number. They gave me the coach number. And the coach, one of the coaches was one of my college coaches, and he gave me the number to the GM. So I got the number for him, and I started just calling the GM every single day for like 2 weeks straight, every single day. And I just kept calling and calling and calling until like it was like towards the end of December. He called me, said, when I called, he said, we just let two of our running backs go. but we're going to go over as a coaching staff and see what we want to do. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, then the next day after that, I called again. And I said, have you guys made a decision yet or not? And they said, yeah, we're going to go. We went over as a coaching staff. You know, we're going to bring you in, but we're not going to sign you. You know, we're going to bring you into training camp, but we're not going to sign you. You know, all I said was just, yeah, I just need an opportunity, you know. I need an opportunity. So we went into training camp, and I was like the fifth running back on the roster. And I was just grinding. I kept my head down, just grinding and grinding and grinding, and I ended up making that team as the third running back. Then come to the season of that, like, the first game of the Lions, I didn't play that much, but then when I did get a chance to play, like, I ended up scoring a long touchdown pass, and I scored on a long touchdown pass, and that was that. After that game, then the second game, we was back down in our own end zone. We had to drive the ball down to feel the win, and they put me in, and I ended up, you know, running the ball and driving it down and helping the team to the win. And the third game of the season, like, they ended up naming me the starter, and I rushed for like 80-something, 90 yards and a touchdown. And after that, that's when it was it from there. Like, it just kept going up and up, and I ended up being like the leader of rushing or something like that in the league. And that's when the league folded, and I had different workouts and stuff from different NFL teams and stuff. I had a workout from the New England Patriots. They didn't sign me after my workout, so I had to fly back home and keep training. Then I had a workout from the Green Bay Packers. Same thing. They didn't sign me at all either. So that's when Cleveland called for I got invited for a veterans mini camp. You know, veterans mini camp. I got an invite, a 3-day mini camp. I came up here, but then they didn't sign me. You know, they didn't sign me at all. So I went back home and I just kept training and training. But you know, I'm like, man, I'm close. Like, I'm close. I just kept training harder and harder. Like, I'm close. That's when Cleveland called me back again, and I came up for another workout, and that's when they ended up signing me, and I've been here since then. Like, it's a blessing.
My man, I would say I've done this a long, long time. I think that was the most epic answer to a question I've ever gotten in my life. So good on you, man. Props to you. That was absolutely beautiful. Dearness Johnson, my guest, that is your story. That is absolutely the story. That is the most amazing thing, that this is what you went through. And just so people understand what we're talking about here, you had a really good college career. You ended your career with more than 4,000 yards from scrimmage. So you had high hopes. As you point out, things didn't work out with the NFL draft. You worked on a fishing boat. You went to the Alliance of American Football. You put up numbers for the Orlando Apollos. Then the league gets folded. And then you get this opportunity with the Browns. And then they've got a couple of great running backs already, and they both get down, and you get your opportunity. I got to know, that first touchdown with the Browns on a Thursday night, prime time. This team needs it badly. What did it feel like to take it to the house?
Man, like, even when they named me the starter, like, that was just a blessing there, just to come in to start an NFL game. You know, that's always a kid, whoever playing football dream of playing in the NFL. You know, they want to be able to start an NFL game. That's big time. But, like, we went down there and scored. Like, you know, the O-line did a great job. You know, give thanks to the O-line and the receivers. You know, they did a great job the whole night. But just to get in that end zone and just, it's an indescribable feeling. You know, I wanted to do some kind of celebration. Like, I had different kind of celebrations that I wanted to do, but I couldn't think of anything at that moment. Like, I was just in shock. Like, I just scored my first NFL touchdown, and all I could do is just let it all out and just yell, you know, just yell. And just, because it's been a long journey, man, just to get here and just to do something that you always dream of as a kid, man. Like, that's a blessing.
I kind of wonder, like, so when you're doing this slow grind and you're paying this price and you're working on a fishing boat and you become a trainer and you're not giving up on the dream, what kept you going? Why did you not think at any point? Maybe you thought at some point, maybe it's not meant to be, but you never gave up. What kept you going?
Man, like, I got to, you know, football is just always my dream. Like, I wasn't going to let anything stop it. You know, I have a good support system around me that just kept motivating me just to keep going also, and just I got a son, you know. I got two kids now, but I had a son at a time where I just got to make it. Like, I got to make it for him, you know. That's my main thing, just to help him, you know, provide him with a great life. That's what I want to do. And I didn't want to be denied at all, you know. Nothing wasn't going to stop me, no matter what obstacles I had to face. Like, my goal was I was going to get there some kind of way. Like, I was determined. Like, I couldn't, like... I was just determined.
Dearness Johnson is joining us. I got to know, like, everybody in that locker room, I have to think that everybody in that room, I mean, not just the running back room, but that locker room has a pretty good idea of your story and your journey and your grind and what you've had to endure. What was it like for you to show up, play the way you did, help that team win a game they had to have in prime time? What was the reaction of everybody else? And then what was that moment like for you?
Man, the reaction was crazy. Like everybody knew what it took for me to get here. They know how hard I just work hard every day in practice. They know that, like, they know all the little things that I do. You know, they know everything. You know, just to come in and everyone just celebrate. You know, just celebrate and just embrace me, and just, man, it's one of the best feelings. You know, and I can't even lie, like, just to help the team get a win on a Thursday night when we needed it the most, man. Like, you can't ask for a better feeling than that. You know, like, those guys know how hard, you know, I work and what it took for me to get here. So, you know, it's crazy.
I want to ask you one more thing, like, and this is just me. I'm just a media guy behind a microphone, but I want to tell you what I thought and what it felt like to me watching you run on Thursday night. I felt like every time you got your hands on the ball, you were running, like, with that journey, right? Like, you were running with that entire thing on every carry, in the sense that you're breaking tackles and you're running guys over, and I felt like you had this entire journey with every single time you hit the field. I don't know if I'm explaining this the right way, but that's how it felt to me. Like, how would you describe your mentality when you get your ball or when you get your hands on the ball? Because that's what it felt like. Your entire life was with every carry.
Yeah, it was with every carry. You know, I knew it was coming in. I knew it was a big opportunity for me. You know, just a big opportunity just to showcase what I showcased. And I just wanted to make every chance I got the ball, or every chance I got a chance to just to be in the game, I just want to make every opportunity count. You know, I didn't want to regret anything at the end of the day. I wanted to just leave it all out there and give it my all and just make every opportunity that I get count. And that's what I went out there and did. You know, every chance I got, like, I try to make it count.
All right, so you got Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday, another big, big game. How are you approaching that this week? What's that look like to you, and what kind of a role do you think you'll have in that game?
Oh, man, you know, Pittsburgh, I mean, they're a great team. They're coming off a bye. So, you know, they're a great team. Every year is always a challenge going against those guys. You know, it's a divisional game, so, you know, it means a lot more, you know. It means a lot more. So we just got to go out there and just take it one day at a time and get better every day to prepare us well for this game. So that's what we're going to do. You know, our mentality every week is to go 1-0. So, you know, Pittsburgh's the next opponent, so we got to make sure we do all the studying and everything that we need to do to get prepared for this game. You know, and with my role, if Mitch coming back, you know, I'm just be me, continue being me, just continue to be the supportive guy that I am, and know, support Nick when I'm in and when he's in, and whenever I get a chance to get in and get an opportunity, you know, I just try to want to make sure I make the best opportunity of it. You know, make the best of that opportunity.
Yeah, my man, you're your own guy. There's no doubt about that. And they've got immense respect for what you did. I mean, they needed you to win that game. I'm curious, what did Nick have to say to you when you came off the field when you played the way you did?
Man, even before the game, man, Nick told me, like, man, look, this is your opportunity, man. You always dream of it, man. Here's your opportunity. So go out there and make the best of it. And that's what he told me before the game. And during the game, he was just telling me, you know, keep a good job and stuff like that. Just keep running hard, and keep trusting your eyes. Just keep playing freely, you know. Just keep being me, you know. So that's what I did. And after the game, man, he was just excited for me, you know, that I got 100 yard plus and just in a touchdown, because he know the hard work that I put in and day out, and, you know, just he know it, and he was just happy for me, you know. Like, Nick is like a brother to me, you know. We got that relationship, like, he's a brother. Like, Larry's like a brother to me. Like, he was very happy.
Listen, this is the truth. Watching you run in that game and watching the way you finished off that game and the way you finished off those drives, I was saying to my guys, I'm like, hey, man, I got to talk to this guy. I want to meet this guy. I want to have this guy on the show. I want to talk about his journey. And I'm so glad, Dearness, that you said yes. So congrats. It is great to meet you. It's great to have you on the show. You made it better. And it really is an amazing story, man. The slow grind. There's something to it. I appreciate you, and great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Yes, sir. That was great. Appreciate you, Dearness Johnson. That there's so many things to like about that. And if you notice, when he was telling his story, I was spellbound. There was a reason why I did not jump in. That story was absolutely amazing. That was a great, captivating, compelling jungle moment, because these are all things I want to talk to him about, but he laid it out beautifully. Like, this guy went through the things that he went through even to get that opportunity. And the incredible thing is, to not only pay that price, maintain that belief, stay on that grind, that slow grind, even if you do get that opportunity. It doesn't mean you'll do anything with it. It doesn't mean you'll come through. Yet on that big stage, in prime time, when they had to have it, he gets that opportunity. And he was ready and just crushed it. Crushed it. And what an amazing response that was to that first question. Good stuff. America's bleeping team, the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland! We're having a day now. We're talking about the Bengals. We're talking about the Browns. The Arizona Cardinals, I'm trying to get to. Man, the NFL truly is upside down and in the best way imaginable. What's wrong with Kansas City? Jets get hammered. Giants win. Detroit gave the Rams all they could handle. Another wild, wild weekend. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so guaranteed phone calls next segment. And then we'll talk baseball to end the program with Andy McCullough. The Cure crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Ladies, gentlemen, basketball is back. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Playing daily fantasy hoops is easy. Just pick out your lineup of pro basketball ballers, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. Score big, and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it is the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code ROME, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and start a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. Andy McCullough is coming up next segment. Man, I'm still can't believe Dearness Johnson, man. What a kick that was. That was awesome. That was awesome. I'm so into this guy's story and so into the way he told his story and so into that first response. I mean, maybe some programmer somewhere or somebody who's doing Radio 1A would say, hey, hey, hey. Like, there was this guy, his name slips my mind, but when I worked at ESPN, they made every single one of us see this guy. And we were taught how to do interviews. And literally everybody in the company, or everybody who was talent, or everybody in front of a camera. And this guy was, you know, he was a taskmaster, and he had very definitive views on how to conduct interviews. And it was like a two-day seminar. like 8 hours a day. Like, it was wild. And we all went through it. And then I would watch ESPN, and I could see, by the way, everybody did interviews, that they went through this guy because management was just adamant. Like, this is the only way to do it. And he would show clips of, this is a really bad interview. This is a really bad line of questioning. This is not the way you do it. And then, you know, I was sitting there waiting for my clips to show up, you know, but I mean, we all went through it. So I'm sure somebody, some professor or somebody teaching Radio 1A would have been like, hey, you can't let a guy go for however long it was and not interrupt him. But my thought process was, this guy's awesome. I'm speaking of Dearness Johnson. This guy is awesome. This is an awesome jungle moment. This is so authentic and so real and so pure. And there's so much that's gone into this guy's life and his journey. Hell yeah, I'm going to stay out of the way. My man, take as much time as you need. And so I stayed out of the way. And I thought it was great. I loved it. And by the way, I am accountable to somebody always. I am no different. But my bleeping show, I wanted to hear what this guy had to say. He earned that platform. And can I tell you something else? Most people are doing you a big favor if they come on. My man earned that platform, this one, like he did Thursday night's opportunity, and crushed it. And I feel like he crushed this. So I just stayed the hell out of the way. My man, tell me, how you doing? How you living? I mean that. How you living? Tell me your story, Dearest. Because I mean that. When I was watching him run, I just thought the guy was running. And I'm not going to say something really trite like, my man was running with authority. My man was running from something or to something. Or my man was running angry. I just felt like this guy really was. Like, that was life, man. You could feel it. The way he was finishing his runs, and as excited as his teammates were for him, that was just a different thing. That was not just your, hey, man, the Browns really need this one. At least not for that one particular athlete. I wanted to meet that guy. I wanted to talk to that guy. Got my guy D-Dub. I'm like, hey, man, are we out to him? He's like, oh, yeah, you know we are. Like, D-Dub was ahead of me. So that was that rare moment where I saw somebody or something, and I said, man, I need to talk to that guy. I kind of want to tap into that, and I want to hear it. And best of all, he wanted to talk about it. You don't always get that, too. There are guys with amazing stories that are not good at telling you their story or don't even want to tell you their story. So, yes, I'm still all about America's team. And that's another reason why, right there, 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying to decide whether or not to do a telephone call or maybe do an ATP. Etnir Todd, ATP, was your interview with Dearness Johnson the easiest you've ever had? Right near the top, my man. Right near the top. And I mean that in the best way. You know why? Let me tell you why. What makes a good radio program? What makes a good podcast? What makes content of any kind good? Bleeping stories. We love people that tell stories. Have you ever noticed how happy I am when a guest says to me, hey, man, you got a minute? Can I tell you a story? Yes. Yes, you have all the time you need. Tell me a story. Yeah, well, this guy has like the best story and couldn't wait to tell you the story. So the answer, Todd, is yes. That was one of the easiest interviews I've ever had to do and one of the best. Ask me. Hi, Jim. Do you get along with your neighbors? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. Ooh, you like to make trouble, don't you, Bella?
I love when you talk hockey.
Which neighbors? My California neighbors or my Wisconsin neighbors? My Wisconsin neighbors are the best neighbors I have ever had. I told you, when we, in northern Wisconsin, watch the way I dance around this. I won't dance around it. California, I'll say on one side, no, not really. On the other side, yes. Got a good guy on the other side of me. We were bad neighbors, actually. The better question would be, do they get along with us? We try not to make trouble, but we did a complete remodel of the house that took a year. I guarantee they hated my guts. Terrible sounds, trash. Like, I was the worst kind of neighbor. I would hate my guts. Except, I lived in the same neighborhood, and I had the same thing happen to me on both sides of me in the same neighborhood. So I've been on the other side of that, too. Bella, stop making trouble, yo. My Wisconsin neighbors are the best neighbors ever. I mentioned to you, we've had really bad weather. And in the Midwest, I don't see this in Cali. Can I tell you? I don't even know my neighbors' names in California. Literally. Truth be told, if you say to me, hey, Rome, on the left side, what is the last name of that family? I could not tell you. Really? How about the right side? Nope. How about across the street? Nope. Don't even know. Yet in northern Wisconsin, and we're only there a month out of the year, when it goes down, and it goes down, man, there is some bad weather and bad things happen. Trees fall, houses get smashed, property gets wrecked. When it goes sideways, and it does, I've been there only a couple of summers and it has both summers, immediately everybody bands together. And they go to the house that has the most damage, and they send their kids, and the parents go over there, and they start fixing everything. California, man, everybody locks their doors and windows. Like, oh, hell no. I'll be banging on my neighbor's door. Just turn off the lights. Pretend you're not home. No, man. In northern Wisconsin, we all band together. You should see my kids, my California kids, when Dodger Jana was like, hey, yo, boys, get your ass. She doesn't say this, but get your asses down the street. You're going to work.
Get your ass to.
You know, so Jake gets it. Logan gets it, was a little slower, though. And Janet's like, yeah, yo, now. These kids are out there just sweating their asses off, working all day long. I'm like, good, good. That's how it is, man. That's the real world right there. So good. I got my man Woody. Woody's the best. How about Woody hit me with that pork chop on top of that 8-egg omelet? He's like, hey, yo. Yo, Jimmy, my boy. You want a pork chop with that 8-egg omelet? I'm like, Woody, no, sir. I'm good. He's like, you're getting one anyway. He slapped a pork chop on top of my 8-egg omelet. And it was awesome. I love northern Wisconsin. My man Sean tweets, D'Ernest Johnson with the most epic interview ever. Maybe. It might be. Bella B is back. Which lady clone was climbing into the broadcast booth? I'm going with that chick in West Virginia. Bella. Hey, Kettle.
What are you doing?
Just kidding, Bella. Bella.
War lady clone.
Bella, you know that quote, chick in West Virginia. First of all, I bet you know her name.
What are you doing?
And second of all, you know that chick in West Virginia is going to call and correct you. Bella can do whatever the hell she wants, man. She's Bella. Bella, I don't want to start ranking things because that's not cool. But if we're thinking lady clones, and I don't want to get on the wrong side of Abigail, Bella's pretty much the top of the chain, right? For lady clones. Yeah, I mean, you got to say, Bella might be on the top of the chain of clones, period. Bella is an extremely loyal clone. Loyal to the show, loyal to the brand, loyal to Big Head Bets, loyal to her brand of vodka. Bella's just loyal, man. Appreciate you, Bella. I do. All right, when we come back. I love Bengal fans all hyped up, too. Love it. Quick reaction, and then I go to my next guest. Even saltier Sarah tweets, Bella is at the top of the chain because none of the lady clones hang on your pant legs so desperately. Damn, Sarah, really? Sorry I left you out, Sarah. You did deserve better. I'll own that. You absolutely are on the short list, Sarah. And really quickly, this one. No offense, Rome, but I hear you every freaking day for all 3 hours. I want to hear somebody else's amazing story. Props to you for having the confidence to shut the hell up and turn your show over to a guest who has something to say or a story to tell. Bro, I got sick of me like 30 years ago. I know. Believe me, I'm happy to do it. All right. With that said, I want to talk some baseball. Your telephone number is toll-free, as you know. And as promised, Andy McCullough is joining me right now. And I want to talk about the NLCS. He's a senior writer at The Athletic. Previously covered baseball at the Los Angeles Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star Ledger. Andy, it is good to have you back on. Thank you so much for doing it. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, good. It's good to visit with you. So you've got a great piece on The Athletic right now about the NLCS and especially about what happened to the Dodgers. I want to talk about Atlanta and Houston in a moment, but starting with L.A. and the different factors in their loss, in your opinion, how much of them not making it to the World Series was about their starting pitching just not working out the way they expected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a part of it. I mean, I guess like the simplest answer is it didn't hit enough, but they hit enough, if that makes sense, right? They did actually score runs. They didn't get shut out every game. And so, you know, their run prevention was below their standard. And I think that they have spent, you know, the last several months kind of trying to build up for the fact that, you know, they had a starting pitcher shortage. You know, that traces back to, you know, in my opinion, to the decision to sign Trevor Bauer. That has obviously backfired spectacularly. It's been an embarrassment for the organization, and they've been doing lots of things, you know, basically this entire season to try and compensate for that. So they acquired Max Scherzer. They made a lot of other, you know, sort of moves. They, you know, didn't give Clayton Kershaw the necessary time to rest when he initially hurt his elbow. And so it led to a situation where they entered the postseason with three effective starting pitchers. And then they made the, you know, frankly, confounding decision, at least in the case of Julio Urias, to use him in relief, you know, which cost them a game in game two against the NLCS and also, you know, sort of made him less effective in his next start. And they also saw that the decision to use Max Scherzer in relief, which I think was more defensible, completely backfired as well. And that, you know, he was basically just asked out of pitching in game six of the NLCS, or maybe that's a little strong, but it was decided he should not pitch in game six, which they lost with Walker Buehler on short rest. So yeah, I mean, the pitching was a real issue.
Andy McCullough joining us, a senior writer of The Athletic. So having said all that, let me ask you were talking to Ned Yost about the approach of using a starter as a reliever, which is something that Dave Roberts and Alex Cora both did in the championship series. What do you make, or what did Yost make of how it was done this year, and what's his thinking behind that?
I mean, I think he found it interesting. I called Ned, you know, I used to cover the Royals, and so I have a relationship with him, and I thought it'd be interesting because he is someone who on, you know, a very big stage for him in the American League wildcard game in 2014, used a starting pitcher in relief, Yordano Ventura, and saw it, you know, just blow up in his face. Ventura gave up a three-run bomb, and, you know, the Royals did come back to win that game, but had they not, there was a decent chance and Ned Yost might have lost his job over that decision. And so I was interested just in his take on it, and, you know, his point was, I think, fairly similar to what a lot of people in baseball think about these things, which is kind of the risk often outweighs the reward, the risk of, you know, what might happen if the, you know, one, if the pitcher just doesn't pitch well, but two, if it affects him in his next start. And I think, you know, you saw that, you know, specifically with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, I understand using Max Scherzer in relief in game five of the NLDS. I get the appeal of, you know, needing him there or feeling like you needed him there to close out the Giants, who are obviously a very, very good baseball team, but I don't think anyone really could have predicted how much it would have affected him and rendered him, you know, he had a dead arm, you know, when he took the baseball again for the Dodgers. I believe it was in game two, you know, like he only couldn't finish the fifth inning, and then he just couldn't go in game six. And so, like, that's the risk, right? And the reward is you get a clean inning. And I think, you know, you can see kind of the difference in scale there.
We're talking to Andy McCullough. So really quickly, I mean, we talked about the Dodgers pitching and Trevor Bauer and the decisions that they made to use starting pitching out of the bullpen and such. But none of this really explains what happened to the offense, right? What happened to the Dodger offense?
So losing Max Muncy right on the last day of the season really hurts. Muncy was their best hitter. He was kind of the left-handed, like, middle cog in the lineup who, you know, always had good at-bats. And so, you know, okay, that hurts. Justin Turner, you know, sort of was not physically really at his peak, and he was out for the last couple games. But, you know, look, I mean, you kind of saw what the offense had been for much of the season. I mean, it was, they scored a lot of runs and in some ways, you know, were very effective, but they had a lot of games that they would win, you know, 3-1 or, you know, 4-2 because the pitching was just so good. This was not an offense that was very consistent. And so they were not consistent in this postseason, you know, and I think, you know, Trey Turner obviously, you know, really struggled. You know, Corey Seager hit for power a little bit, but was not the Corey Seager he was last October. Mookie Betts, you know, was pretty good, you know, in for most of it, but wasn't really hitting for power. You know, there's it'll be interesting to see if he has any sort of procedure to deal with the hip problem he had for most of the year. I mean, they just, you know, the big guys in their lineup did not produce in the way that they had in years past.
Andy McCullough is joining us to break it all down. All right, so what about the World Series? Gets underway tomorrow night. What are your initial thoughts on that matchup?
I think it's actually going to be pretty good. I mean, having watched Atlanta up close, you know, in the NLCS, I know they won 88 games, but they're better than an 88-win team. They have, you know, Alex Anthopoulos deserves a lot of credit for how he made up for losing Ronald Acuna during, you know, right before the trade deadline. You know, they were able to get Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario, who apparently is the best hitter on the, like, I've ever seen.
Seriously,
he played near the stretch in the NLCS. But what they have, right, is they have a lineup that doesn't really have a dead spot. They have a good hitter, more or less, or a competent hitter in all eight spots in their lineup, which is, you know, really, which is really, really valuable this time of year. They're not going to be giving up free outs. You know, the problem though is that Houston, you know, they had been my pick to win, you know, for much of the year. I think they're very, very dangerous. You know, their offense is just ferocious. Yordan Alvarez is just as hot as Eddie Rosario, if not more. You know, you've got Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, who are obviously battle-tested. You know, it'll be interesting. With Lance McCullers is unlikely to pitch in the series. He is Houston's best starting pitcher. You know, Atlanta is going to probably have to pitch some sort of bullpen game in there, you know, in the seven-game series. So I think the things favor Houston, but it should be a good competitive series. And Atlanta is a lot better than an 88-win team, I think, in terms of their true talent.
Right, I think that's such a good point you make. They are definitely. I mean, yeah. I keep thinking, like, you know, the setup is so wrong. Like, how can a team that's 18 and a half back of L.A. have the home field advantage, but they are so much better than their 88 wins? You know, you and I talked about this earlier in the year, but you have a great piece on the Astros and how they've had to deal with the heat that they've taken from the fans.
Yeah.
And the cheating scandal. Would winning a World Series this year eliminate the questions that the fans have or only amplify them?
Yeah, I mean, did it eliminate it for the Patriots when they won in the post, you know, Spygate, post Deflategate era? No, I mean, that's just, it becomes part of your record, you know, and whether that's fair or unfair, you know, I don't care. I mean, I think that once you get, you know, caught doing things like this, it just becomes, you know, your identity. And that's, you know, maybe that's, you know, a shame that you get, you know, branded that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's not going to change how they're treated, you know, how they're perceived, I guess, by fans. And it's also not going to change how they're perceived here in Houston. I mean, this team is beloved by the city. They've really, you know, stood behind them despite, you know, getting caught cheating. And so, I don't think it will change much.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to change anything at all. I think you're right. He's a senior writer at The Athletic, previously covered baseball for the Los Angeles Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star-Ledger. Very good to talk to you, too. Andy, thanks so much. I really appreciate you. Great to have you back.
No problem, Jim. Have a good one.
Good job. Really smart. Good content. All right, so I left you a moment or two on the back end. If there's something you want to jump in on at the last second, you go right ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. We had our ATPs. Salty Sarah sang Bella B. Of course, she's at the top of the chain. The way she desperately hangs on to my ankle. Sarah, a little harsh. And yes, Sarah, I should have mentioned you. Hey, Sarah, not that I'm ever going to make an excuse. I'm not about making the excuses, but you got to cut me a little slack, yo. I did go to New York and back this weekend. Sorry, never again, Sarah, will I forget you. You definitely are on that short list. I'm just saying Bella B is about all of it. And no, I'm not looking for somebody to kiss up. I'm just saying she's got a great passion for the program and everything about the program. The ATP is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is somebody else saying, hey, Rome, that's why you're in the Hall of Fame. And truly one of the best to ever do it. It's one of the reasons why your pod is so successful. You know when to shut the hell up. You're a pro's pro. It's why I've been listening for 20 plus years. Thank you for doing what you do. Brandon in the 805. You know, there is something to it. I'm not here to hear the sound of my own voice. I know some of you don't believe that. Honestly, that's not the case. I wish everybody were like D'Ernest, but they're not. I wish everybody had an amazing story to tell. I wish everybody wanted to tell me that story. You know how much easier my life would be? I wouldn't have to grind content. I wouldn't have to create content. I could just show up here half hour before airtime, put my feet up, think of one or two or three talking points, and just follow everybody around. You know, if everybody answered a question the way D'Ernest answered that first question, could you imagine how easy my gig would be? I wouldn't have to do jack. But that's what made that so awesome. Yeah, no, I don't need to be talking all 3 hours. I don't need to make it about me. I want people like that. Yes, that's why I stay the hell out of the way. Because it makes me look like a good interviewer. And I don't have to do anything. No, my man was different and awesome and had a great story to tell. And I appreciate that, Brandon. Appreciate you in the 805 listening for 20 plus years. Hey, Rome, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Regards, Rome. When Ike climbs into the studio looking for the Tower of Beef.
Dolby.
I love when I email myself. That goes back to that sound of the Baltimore radio booth asking that woman mid-game, what are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Apparently she was going into the broadcast booth looking for a cocktail. I don't know what bar she frequents, but I can't imagine they look like broadcast booths. How do you confuse a broadcast booth for a bar?
What are you doing?
How many drinks have you had if you're like, bartender? Yeah. What are you doing? What do you want? Yeah, good. Finally. Gin and tonic, beef eater. And now we're done. I want to thank Ross Tucker, D'Ernest Johnson, Andy McCullough. All good guests. Thank you, clones. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.